Praise God. All right, so obviously this nation needs to be touched, and from what we've seen here, there are many nations within this nation that are represented here, and we really want to see the Lord's word go forth this morning. Really what we want to talk about this morning is about loving the world. Now, we've been talking about radical love, we've been talking about living a life of love and walking in a life of love, and unfortunately, as I said, that the file is corrupted, so they're not coming up there this morning. So you're going to have to listen a little bit carefully as we go through the scriptures. We know that our main scripture this year was Ephesians 5:2 about walking, or to live a life of love, and to live a life even as Christ gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So I want to talk about loving the world. Now, I want to make it very clear that you understand that when I'm talking about loving the world, I'm not really talking about being worldly. Now, James 4, verses 4 and 5. Now, I don't have time for you to turn to all these scriptures, and I apologize that file is dead. But just listen very carefully this morning. You can turn with you quick. James 4, 4 and 5. It talks about our relationship with respect to the world. Now, as I said, I'm talking about a loving world. If we got the love of God in our life, the radical love of God is poured into our hearts, and it should be, there's an overflowing of that. And how far does it brim? How far does it flow out of our hearts? James 4, 4 and 5, it says this, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God?" So we're talking about living a life of love. And so it's saying friendship with the world, or to live worldly life, to be like the world, is actually hatred to God. So obviously, if we're going to live a life of love, then we don't want to be living in contrast to that. We don't want to be living in hatred to God. And says that if we're following after the world and loving the things of the world and being worldly, it causes that hatred to God. It says anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? It's interesting, isn't it, that the Holy Spirit is within us and says that God is jealous for us. Remember, he's not jealous of us, but he's jealous for us. He wants our attention. He wants our affection. He's created us for that very person. But it says about friendship with the world, loving the world. If you love the things of the world, then that's hatred to God, with the very opposite of what we're talking about, that love, that intimacy with God, that radical love that touches our heart and touches the world, that permeates everything that we are. And so when I'm talking about loving the world, I'm not talking about us being worldly, because that is hatred to God. To live a worldly lifestyle is the opposite of what we've been talking about. And certainly that's not what I'm advocating. And so we don't want to have the values of the world. We're not talking about having worldly values. But we are talking about valuing the people in the world. Valuing everyone from every nation that Jesus Christ has died for, that he paid for them. And that's our heart, that we want to have that heart. And really this morning's really about, out of the love of God that is in our own heart, how far does it overflow in your heart? Is the love of God which is being poured upon our hearts. We've already talked about that. It's God's love in me, far greater than my love. My love has a limit. We've talked about that. But God's love is within me. It has no limit. And therefore, there's no boundary. And the challenge is, how far does the love of God in our own heart, how far does that spill over? How far does that extend? And how far does it extend even to the nations? And so I'm talking about really having a heart for the nations. And that radical love that is within us. Remember, we've talked about the love of Christ, how the love of Christ, it compels us, it moves us forward. And it moves us forward to the very things that are precious, to the very heartbeat of God. And so God has an inheritance in the nations. And again, I praise God for all the different nationalities that are represented. As we said, 22 different nationalities represented in the life of this church. He said, as I said, there's over 196 if you count Taiwan as a separate nation. And what a wonderful thing to see us touching the nations within the nation, but let's touch the nations beyond this nation as well. God has a heart for the nations. In Psalm chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, and this is the Lord, he's speaking prophetically. It says, "I will proclaim the decree of the Lord." So this is what the Lord himself said. And so the Lord said, this is the Father, he said to me, which is the Son talking. The Father said, "I will proclaim the decree of the Lord." He said to me, me being the Son, he said, "You are the Son, you are my Son. Today I have become your Father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. And that's what the Lord's promise is. So God has an inheritance in the nation. God has nations of the world. He has a vested interest in it. So part of the Lord's inheritance is in the nation of the world. And I praise God that part of our inheritance as a church is in the nations of the world, all of the nations that are represented here, even in this nation, but even beyond that. And he says, ask of me, and that's what God says to us. Ask of me, and I will give you an inheritance. And that's certainly my prayer. Lord, I want to see all the nationalities here. I praise God for the mixture that we are. We are a mixed up bunch here, aren't we? And we're all one family together. Everyone is equal. Everyone is the same because we're under the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that so much. But God is passionate about the nations. And already there's been a couple of verses that Gadjan has already shared this morning. But there is so much heart that God has for the nations. And really, if this radical love is really in our heart, then something in our heart will be turned towards the nations. Something will stir in our heart. And the more that we're in love with God, then the more our heart is going to be to touch nations. And the more that we love him, the more that we're going to have a heart for people to come to Christ, not just in our own local community, not just in our neighborhood, but even to the ends of the earth. Revelations 5:8, it's talking about the Lamb of God. It says that the seals, who was worthy to open up the seal of heaven? And there was a cry in heaven saying, who's going to do it? Who was found worthy to open the seal and to the things that have been sealed and needed to be unlocked? And then it talked about Jesus. He was worthy. He alone was worthy. And then there was great rejoicing. And they say, with your blood and with the blood of Jesus Christ that we just remembered around communion, with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So Christ died for every nation. He purchased them with his very blood. And that's the heart that we need to have, is that, Lord Jesus, your heart is the same. And I praise God the way that we're family one to another. But there are conflicts and things that happen in the community, people from different backgrounds. There can be tensions. There can be all sorts of tensions from different backgrounds, from this particular grouping, or we don't like that particular grouping, or we don't, you know, there's some sort of a tension that is ethnically based between peoples in the community. That happens, and that is tragic. I praise God that doesn't happen here in our church, that we are one together. But in the wider body of Christ, it's sad. I'm really saddened when I hear, you know, that I think there was a refusal in a church in America. Some of you might have read that, but there was this is in the southern states of America. There's a family, they were African-American family, they've been attending the church for many, many years. They wanted to get married within that local church, and the pastor, he was all geared up to marry them, but the church board said, no, we've never had any people with a dark skin married in this church building, and the church is 100 years old, and never shall it be. And so these dear African-American family that had been in the church for many, many years, they met each other within the church and they wanted to get married, and they said, no, sorry. So the pastor was denied. That's the structure there. He couldn't marry them in their own church, because of the color of their skin, and had to perform the ceremony in a different church. Now, you might have read that. It was all over the internet. You probably would have maybe heard something about it. What a tragedy it is when people that profess Christ and they allow some sort of division to come on language or skin color or our ethnic heritage, our place of birth, whatever it is. What a tragedy that is, that can even be found anywhere in the body of Christ, because that would grieve the heart of God. Because Jesus died on the cross when he shed his blood. Everyone in the world, by the way, has the same color blood. As Jesus shed his blood upon the cross, he purges for every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And my prayer is that more and more that we're going to have a heart for the nations. I praise God that we are a church of nations here, but individually also that we're going to have a heart for the nations, that we don't live our life just for our own little world, our own little bubble, but have a heart beyond that. And so with his blood, he purges men from God, for God, for every tribe and language, people and nation. That's every single one. As I said, depending on which how they define it, because some people define it on different bases. But basically, when they look at a people group and say, okay, this group of people who identify because of language and other factors, if there's either 16,000 according to some, 27,000 to others, but of those, however you break them up, if you look at the 42% of them are unreached with the gospel. That's a huge amount, nearly 3 billion people in this world. And we got something in our heart needs to break when we hear that, that so many people, we've got everything here. We have everything here. You know, you look at the world and you find so many of them, a third of the world don't even have any sort of running or clean water to drink. And, you know, a lot of the world don't have electricity. All the things that we take for granted, we complain because electricity bills gone up and here they go up and probably enough to complain about. Well, praise God, we got electricity. We got all those things. But we got the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are other people in other nations who don't have those things. And I pray that God will stir out, because if we radically are loving God, then something in our heart will move us. Say, well, I can't be okay about it. That's not an okay thing. That's not a good thing. It's not enough for me to be here in Australia, and for some that have come from different countries, and some have come from horrific situations, have come from places of extreme poverty and difficulty and strife, war-torn areas, and come here into this place and into this nation, into the blessing that God has put upon us. But never let us forget, and those that are even born here, don't let us forget those people in other countries who don't have all the opportunities, and particularly to hear the gospel. You know, some people, we just sort of take it or leave it. We'll come to church today, I'm a bit tired, had a late night, won't come, or I'm a bit busy, I've got this on, I've got that. And there's people who don't even hear the gospel and just so hungry and they're so desperate. And I pray that God will stir something in each of our hearts to say, this is not okay. This is not okay. This is not okay that so many people don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in other countries. There's this powerful picture, and there's even Gadget, I think he pinched the notes. They weren't printed, so he couldn't get them off unless he read them off the computer. But the very things that he was sharing this morning about, you know, the wonder of Olympics, all these countries coming together, but that picture of all nations before God. I will read that from Revelation 7 and 9. I'll just read the rest of the passage. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb Jesus Christ, the one who died, the sacrificial Lamb, who died in our place on the cross. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb. And just what a wonderful picture. All of these multitudes of people coming together and declaring that this salvation is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is from Him. And what a wonderful picture that is. People come together in sport, but how much better when we come together to worship the Lord together. And I praise God for that. That's the delight of my heart. That's the thrill of my heart, of being privileged to be a part of this church family, to be your pastor in this church, is because we are so different from all different nations, but we're one together. And value that. That's so precious in God, because really that's a picture of heaven. It really is a picture of heaven, because that's what heaven is going to be like. You're going to stand out there before God, and you're going to look around, and you're going to marvel, wow, I didn't realize there was so many different people from so many different countries and so many different places, people that are so different from maybe language, maybe, but in before the Lord, and just standing there together worshiping God. Salvation is from the Lord. What a wonderful picture that is. And I praise God that we got a little slice of heaven here in this place. We've got a little picture of that, and how God wants us to have more and more to stir that, have that picture, that we want to see people from every nation coming into to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our heart. We want to see people coming to know Jesus Christ. And so my challenge really is for us to have this heart beyond ourselves, beyond our own world. Now, our own world can become a very small world. And depending on what's happening in my life, my world can be big or my world can be small. When we seem to go through a hard time, when we're going through a difficulty, it's almost as if my world all of a sudden it shrinks down and there's more pressure comes and more problems come and more difficulties come. My world and even my perception of the world and what's out there, it seems to shrink a little bit as the problems come and more pressure and more things going on. My world seems to shrink. And if I'm going through some extreme difficulties and really heart-wrenching things, all of a sudden my world, which was really, really big, my massive world, all of a sudden my world is this tiny little thing. And my world can even shrink down to such an extent that my world becomes my problem. And my whole life then becomes my problem. And everything in my world is the problem. It's the pressure that I'm going through. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Because now my world, which was this world that God has created and He birthed me into and He planted me in that I might have impact and touch, all of a sudden I've let my world shrink down to this little thing, and ultimately it's really my whole world and my whole life is a problem. And that's a problem, because if our whole world shrinks down to that, then that radical love for our life that God wants us to walk in and has given us that capacity, not asking us to do anything we cannot do, then we're not going to able to allow that love to flow out, because my world is shrunk down to this little thing. And so my prayer is that as we go through things, as we go through things that we know that God is with us, that God is sovereign over the world. He is in charge of the whole world. He is His providential power, His authority is above all things. And therefore we're not going to allow our world to shrink when there's problems in our life. I'm not going to allow my world all of a sudden be problems, and so the boundaries of the world get smaller and smaller until here I am, and my life is now a problem, and this is all I am. That's a tragedy. Many people live their lives like that. Even more tragic if someone that knows the Lord allows their world to shrink down. Don't allow your world to shrink. Never make yourself the center of the world. Never make yourself, your problem, the center of the world. Let Christ be the center of your world. Let the love of God be the center. And if you're allowing that, that actually the love of God, as it's poured into our hearts and as it reaches out, it actually keeps pushing out. It just keeps pushing out. It extends the world. And we see there is a world out there, not just my world in here with problems, but no, as the love of God pushes out that boundary, there's a world out there who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said it before and I've said it again, we've got it. You've got everything that you need for life. You find Christ, you've found it. You've got it. You've achieved everything that God wanted you to do in terms of finding the purpose in life. You know what life is about now. And then the mandate then is now to go out and to go into the world and let other people know. Never be absorbed in your own little world. We need to have a heart beyond ourselves. Again, Gadgen mentioned the scripture, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to creation. Go into all the world. Now, not all my little world. And so and my little world can be, well, I go into all my world. My world is my work. And I go, and that's part of my work and my family. Well, they're all a part of my world. But it says go into all the world, not just your own world. Have a heart far beyond the own sphere of influence that you have, that we might touch the nations. Because nearly 3 billion people who don't know Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people, isn't it? 2.87 billion. And that figure will, population is growing a little bit. It's growing all the time. People are getting saved all the time. Maybe 80, 90,000 people every single day giving their life to Christ. But there's still people being born, and so we still need to have that heart for the nations. And the fact is that when the Lord asks us to do something, I've said this before, when God asks us to do something, He's not a God that guilts us and says, well, do this, and if you do this, you're okay. If you don't do this, you're not okay. God's not a guilt-motivating God. He's a love-motivating God. He put the Spirit of God within us. And so even as we're talking about having a heart for nations, I'm not trying to guilt us. Because as I've said before, guilt lasts 2 or 3 weeks. Guilt's a good thing for 2 or 3 weeks. And guilt's actually never good. But guilt might make you change for 2 or 3 weeks, but it never changes your life. But love changes your life forever. The love of God does that. And so, but He gives us a capacity. In Acts 1:8, we all know about on the day of Pentecost when the people are all gathered together. And it's amazing how when they gather together, when the Holy Spirit has begun to pour out upon them, we see God's heart again in the heart for the nations. When they people gather to them in Acts chapter 2, actually, on the day of Pentecost, we'll see that when God poured His Spirit upon them, when the very person of Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit was poured about on each one, well, they started praying in tongues. They began to speak in tongues, began praying in tongues filled with the Holy Spirit. And all those different tongues, we're all different languages. And if you read the story in Acts 2, we're not going to look at it all this morning, but there's people there saying, all the people from different countries, very cosmopolitan city of Jerusalem, saying, hey, we're from Parthia and we hear them speaking our language. And people from Medes, which Persia, they're saying, man, we can hear them praising God in our own language. These are all Jewish boys and girls. They don't know these languages. They don't speak these things. And yet here they are, the power of God speaking in tongues and worshipping God. They could hear them each in their own language, hearing these people. Someone could hear them, gee, that guy's speaking Greek, that guy's doing this or whatever it is. And God's heart for the nations is illustrated beautifully to me in Acts chapter 2 when you see the day of Pentecost. That the languages that they were praying in, the prayer language, that divine enabling empowered by the Holy Spirit upon our lives, that we can praise God with our spirit, not just our mind, but with our human spirit, which is activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can begin to speak that. Speaking in tongues is the expression of the human spirit. And as we begin to speak that forth empowered by the Holy Spirit, it was from different nations. And again, that shows me the heart of God. He was trying to teach them something, guys, on the day of Pentecost. My heart is for the nations. My heart is for the nations. And he was trying to teach them. He'd already in Acts 1:8, and that's what I want to look at. That was the promise of the day of Pentecost. He said to them in Acts 1:8, and this is what he said. But you will receive power. Now, you all know this verse. You all have maybe heard this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so God wants us to have this heart to touch the nations. He actually, again, he gives you the divine capacity to fulfill the very thing that he's asking you to do. When we give our heart to Christ, we're born again. The Holy Spirit comes, we live within our heart. We're saved. The Holy Spirit is within us. But then there's that subsequent experience. We are baptized or clothed with power on high, as the scripture says. We're filled with the Spirit of God. And as the Holy Spirit comes and empowers us, he gives us power to be able to take that mandate to touch the nations. He never asks us to do something he doesn't empower us to do. And so he empowers us to do that with the Holy Spirit coming into our heart and our life. And this talks about being witnesses in Jerusalem. And it's important that we do that. We want to touch our family, our friends, this community. We want to touch this community. We want to touch this suburb, the suburbs around Brimbank. We want to touch beyond that. People that live in areas that are a little bit further out. People that live coming down from areas of Geelong near down that way that come to church. We'll come from Sunbury or wherever they are. We want to touch all of those places. But we don't want to draw the boundary there because the world out there is bigger than our little heart here and our little world. God wants us to keep, his love actually keeps saying the world is bigger and my love has got to stretch. Love's not just for you and your little world. And the love there is sufficient and it's more than you need at the time, at this situation, more than you need right now in the world. But just the love of God keeps pushing it out and wanting us to touch further on. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is within you. The power of God, you've been born again. The Holy Spirit's within you. You've had the subsequent power of the Holy Spirit poured upon your life with the evidence of being able to pray in that supernatural prayer language as on the day of Pentecost upon your life. And then you've got the power now to be able to see the gospel proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Problem is we just see the Holy Spirit and the power of God just in our little shrunken world. We allow the world to come in. Problems to come in. We bring our world down to the little thing which may be centered on our problem now. And yet we've got the awesome power of God within us. And it's not just for this little world of our own problem and our own life. He's given us the supernatural power, the divine enabling to touch even to the ends of the earth. And it's within you right now. And he's put it within us, the spirit of power. And you will be my witnesses. And then in Matthew 28:19, he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Says, there's something going on. He says, I've actually poured my love into you. I've poured myself, my presence, the Holy Spirit within your life. And therefore go and touch the ends of the earth. And that's part of living a life of love because we can't say that I'm living this life of love and I'm enjoying this wonderful intimacy with God, a wonderful union with God. But my world is still a small world and I don't have a heart beyond myself and it doesn't actually extend. And how do, so there's something about the love of God that will cause us to have a heart for the nations, to be able to touch the nations. And God has empowered us to do that. And he says, go ahead and do it. Now go ahead, therefore, go, just do it. We've got the mandate from heaven to touch into the ends of the earth, to touching all nations. Well, how do I do that then? Well, one of the things I want to always make sure in my own heart is, Lord, never let my world shrink. Lord, I don't want to have a shrunken world, because if I have a shrunken world view in my life, then I am a diminished person, and who you called me to be is not being fulfilled. I'm not really growing. I'm not being everything you called me to be, because I've allowed my world to become small. I've allowed it to be absorbed in my own self, my own needs, my own problems, which sometimes can become my world. And Lord, I don't want to live like that, Lord, because the power of God is so great within me. The presence of God, the love of God that you poured into each and every one of our lives is so amazing. Lord, I don't want to have a small world. Lord, I want to allow the love of God to keep flowing through my life, that it keeps pushing and reaching further and touching further. And the Spirit of God is put within us to do that and enable us to do that. But how do I actually now do this? How do I reach to the ends of the earth? And one of the most important things I think we always neglect is prayer. Prayer is so important in praying. Now, when I'm talking about praying in terms of the nations, you know, people, you know, you can pray a prayer, say, Lord, let everybody get saved. Bless all the sick people, and may everyone come to Jesus. Bless all the sick people, and God be with the missionaries. Now for someone who maybe doesn't really know how to pray, that can be a very well-intentioned prayer, but it can be a very ineffective prayer as well. If we want to pray effectively, not just God bless everyone, but God's actually put certain people in our lives. He's put certain things on our hearts, and they're the things that he wants us to pray. Pray very specifically, not just bless the children in Africa. Well, which children in Africa? Maybe some of the children that Pastor Mike and Shirley are reaching out to. Maybe the Watoto. Yeah, I think I said it right. Watoto choir. I'm having special speech therapy so I can say that properly. The choir coming. Maybe pray for those kids. But don't just pray for the missionaries in Africa. Pray for Pastor Mike and Shirley Tyrrell, who are from this church, who are in Africa. Have a heart to pray. And I really encourage every one of us, if you want to really have that heart to say, Lord, I really want to help touch the nations, begin to pray. Maybe you need to adopt a nation. Maybe there's a nation that you can need to pray for. You saw all of the nations here. Maybe if you've come from one of those nations originally, well, that's the passion. You really want to see Liberia one for Christ. Many people that maybe profess Christianity, but maybe they don't live that. Maybe there's those that have been all sorts of situations, have a heart. But maybe you were born here. And I trust that you're all praying for Australia anyway. We're all praying for this nation. But pick a nation. And if you don't know about the nation, it's all of the nations that were represented there. Say, tell me about Liberia. What do they need? What about Kenya? What's happening in Italy? Because even nations like Italy and France, some of those are the most godless nations. I mean, Australia is right at the top of the godless nations, by the way. We're right near the top of the list of decadent nations. We're right up there. We always think of America, but we're right up there, actually. They're probably even more godly than us in many ways. But find someone to pray for. Find something to pray for. Make your prayers effective. James says the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Not the general prayer, bless the world, God, may everyone get saved. That, unfortunately, is never going to come true. Not everybody is going to choose Jesus Christ. Everyone has the opportunity. If we give them the 42% who don't, we want them to have the opportunity. But some people will refuse Christ, and that's sad. Jesus died for every single person, but not everyone is going to receive him. So when we pray, we want to pray effectively. Don't just pray for the missionaries. Pray for specific missionaries. If you don't know any missionaries, talk to Karen. You see the ones from the church that we are supporting. But pray, make your prayer effective. That's a part of your heart and the love of God flowing out as you're praying in prayer. It is so that these people in other countries, just in desperate situations, literal life and death situations, the persecution that happens and all the things that people who just don't know Christ, pray. They covet your prayers. Pray for them. Be specific. Pray. That's a part of you having a heart. Because if you're only ever praying about my problem, that's my world. Lord, take the problem away. Lord, fix my problem. Help me. with my problem, then that's my little world. But God has given me a heart, and he'll deal with my problem. But allow him to work through your life, and do that in prayer. Don't just pray little throw-a-line prayers. With all your heart, say, Lord, I so much want to see that nation. Now, you might never go to that nation, but your heart can go there, and you can pray. So pray, make it an effective prayer. Adopt a nation, adopt a missionary, pray for someone, find someone. If you're not already praying for a nation or a missionary, find someone. You don't know, well, what missionary? Talk to Karen, our missions coordinator. If you don't know a nation, pick one of the nations of the people. Say, well, tell me about your country, because I really want to start praying for Sudan, because they're right on the verge of civil war again. After all the conflict right now, that nation is right on the verge of civil war. And that could be devastating. Millions of people could die in Sudan, even now. And so maybe God will stir your heart and say, Lord, I just pray for the new nation, the youngest nation on this earth, South Sudan. I pray for them. I pray for the Northern Sudan. I pray for that areas. Maybe God will stir that, because it's the love of God it'll pour. So pray, do that, pray. And have a heart just to care. To care. So, oh, yeah, God's got to touch the nations. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good. And you hear this today and you go, yeah, good word, good message. That's great. Yeah, we've touched the nations. Whoa, off we go. But don't really care. And show your care. Send a letter to a missionary. Missionaries, they need to be supported financially, but a letter to them is like $1 million. You send them a letter, you ring them, you talk to them. And do that. Have that heart to care to do that. Send them a gift. Some of us have the opportunity to go, and I'm going to the Philippines in September. I'll be there for about 3 weeks. So again, I really covet your prayer for that time for the nation of the Philippines as I go there. And some of us will have that. Some of you have been on short-term mission trips. So much more we want to see people doing that. I'd love to have people knocking on my door saying, when's the next mission trip? Because you let me know now. And let me know, I want to start putting a holidays aside. I want to start saving. Maybe even start right now and start saving. So we announced a mission trip. The one in PNG we had to cancel because of unrest there. They still don't come with the elections. It's the wrong time now. We didn't end up going to Papua New Guinea this year. But have a heart to go. Start saving your money. Put $10 a week away. And in 2 or 3 years' time, you'll have enough to go on a missions trip. And start thinking, yeah, Lord, maybe I can go. Maybe I can do something. Give. Giving is really important as well, but don't just give. Oh, missions often, coins for missions. Oh, isn't it cute we're giving coins to the kids? It isn't that. It's not cute. This is life to those people in the Philippines, those coins for missions. Those students that are out of the training centre that's in the Philippines, that we support that training centre. We support half of all the work that happens in there. About 35 churches have come out of that. And so we're all a part of that as we're giving those coins every week. It's not cute. It's power. It's life. We're touching the nations. And those students, they go out, they do the feeding programs with the children and touch the children of the nation there as well. So powerful what you do. But when you give with a heart. Don't just give automatically. Oh, your missions. Yep, off I go. Put your heart in it. Allow the love of God to flow through your giving, because that's what makes it powerful. When the love of God attaches it to your heart of the giving, that's what is very powerful. So give and just be involved. If you want to be involved in the area of touching missions, or have a chat to Karen. Say, Karen, what do I do? Yeah, there's a missions committee. Okay, well, right, how do I get on that? What do I do? Get on the internet. Find out about what's happening in countries. Go on our missions website, CRC World Missions website. You know, there's a goal to touch every nation, be touching every nation by the year 2045. And it's a deliberate goal, which we're well on the way to doing that. We're actually touching so many nations of this earth. So find out about those things, be involved and care about them, and begin to pray about them. Again, talk to Karen if you want to find out a little bit more about those things. But it's my prayer that we'll just really grab a hold of God's heartbeat. Don't let your world be a small view, a world, and just see the nations. And another way that we can touch the nations is all the nations in our community. Like, we saw 22 different nations here in our church. We look in our community, you can touch nations. How many people that were born in Liberia have reached out to an Italian in the last week, in the last month, in the last 2 months? If you were born in Sri Lanka, how many Sri Lankans, people who are born in Sri Lanka, are reaching out to someone that was born in China? And they're here in this nation. See, sometimes we can think, oh, well, I'm just going to work within certain areas because I talk to people and they understand. I can speak their own home language, and that's very helpful, very useful. But let's not even limit ourselves within the nation. Let's reach every nation. It doesn't matter where you were born. Everyone needs to know Christ. So don't allow that ever to enter your mind. People are never defined by where they're born or what languages they speak. They're defined by the fact that Jesus died on the cross for them. That's the defining factor of who people are. And that's the only thing that matters, the only thing that's important. So let's reach out across that. And as I said, we can do that right here in our city of Melbourne here, which is so cosmopolitan. You can touch nations within this nation. So let's stand and pray this morning. I want to pray that that heart will come, of God will pour his love upon us. That as we walk, that we're not going to love the world in the sense of being worldly, because that's the opposite. That's hatred to God. But we're going to have the love of God in our own heart. And Jesus, who purchased every tribe and every nation with his very blood, and so that that picture of Revelation is filled from every tribe, every nation, as one people standing and worshipping God. And that's our prayer. So, Father, I just thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of missions, Father. And, Father, as people that love you and walk in that radical love, Lord, then that's our heart. So it's something we even have to try to do, Lord. We just have to release it. Because, Lord, that you've given us the power of your Holy Spirit within our life, Lord, to touch the nations, to touch Judea, our local area, Samaria, a little bit further. But, Father, even to the ends of the earth, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've already given us the divine enabling to do that. So, Father, I pray, Lord, let us begin to unlock that. Father, let us adopt a nation. Father, let us pray for a particular missionary, Father, Lord. Let us give, Father. Let us go, Lord, on trips, Lord, whatever it is you're stirring our heart to do. Father, I pray, Lord, that you could give us that heart for the nations, or the love for this world that you died for. So, Father, I pray for that. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ, Lord, who hasn't received you in their life, Lord, and so when all those people are there before God, they're not going to make it, Lord, because they never received you. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's never asked Jesus into their life, never surrendered their life and said, Lord, I want to be there in heaven's party, Lord. I want to be there in eternity. I want to be a part of that multitude that make it into your very presence, Lord. I want to be there, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just touch them now, Father. Lord, and as we create opportunity for prayer this morning, Lord, they'll have the courage and say, yeah, I'm in. I want that. I want Jesus in my life. I want to be a part of what God is doing, not only now, but also in eternity. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Father, we just pray, Lord. We pray for those that are on the mission field, for Pastor Mike and Shirley Tyrrell, Lord. Just bless them, Father. Lord, just bless them, Father. Lord, use them mightily, Lord, as they touch Uganda, Father. Lord, even as they've recently sent their greetings, Lord, and appreciation of the money that we sent recently to them, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just continue just to bless them, Father, and what they're doing there, Father. For Pastor Lisa, Father, who's a Filipino missionary, Father, but is working in India, Lord, as we support her. Lord, just bless her, Father. Lord, as she's teaching them, Lord, about going out, Lord, she's teaching a world mission school there. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you just bless her, Lord, in that work, Father. Lord, for Julie from the Fiji, Lord, is now here in Australia, Lord, and is our national mission coordinator's right-hand person, Father, Lord, who coordinates that office, Father. We just pray that you bless her. And Father, we thank you, Lord, as we support her, Lord, our giving is multiplied 100-fold. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, again, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord, as we each stand here in your presence as a missionary. Lord, you call us missionaries, Lord, because you've given us a mission. And Father, let it not be to a little world, but Father, let us have a heart for the whole world, even as you do. Father, I pray this now in Jesus' name.